This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
رحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ونبينا محمد في الأولين، وصل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد في الآخرين. اللهم صل وسلم وزد وبارك على سيدنا محمد في الملأ الأعلى يا أرحم الراحمين. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to always bless us with the practice of the tradition and the sunnah of our Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens our hearts to each other in these difficult times. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects us from all harm, that which we're aware of and that which we don't yet anticipate coming. And I want inshallah today, the theme of this virtual Jumu'ah. And of course, we said last week that the concept of a virtual Jumu'ah is a virtual gathering. Obviously, you will still pray your Dhuhr prayer, inshallah. This isn't Khutbat al-Jumu'ah, but it's a virtual assembly of us. And it's one of the reasons that I've made it at an odd hour for us here in Perth and in this time zone and for all of you in different parts. So the discussion that we have is, once again, a plea for help. Help me. How do I resolve conflict? So last week, we were held hostage. Now we want to improve on our situation and we want to clarify, some of the circumstances that lead to conflict. And sadly, for many of us, when we are grouped together, especially with family, conflict ensues. So there's two important triggers and two important things that I want you and I to consider. First, most of the dhulm, most of the wrongdoing that people do to each other is with those who they are overly familiar with or those who they take for granted, i.e. our family and the dearest and nearest to us. And it's no surprise to you and I that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, يَوْمَ يَفِرُّ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ وَأُمِّهِ وَأَبِيهِ وَصَاحِبَتِهِ وَبَنِيهِ لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ. All of these kind of categories. You're going to run away from your brother, your father, your mother, your companion. You're going to run away from your wife. You're going to run away from your sons. And the reason for that on the Day of Judgment is that these are people who we usually take for liberty. We treat in a way that we wouldn't treat our superiors at work. We wouldn't even treat our friends. So you and I can understand that I might be able to speak to my brother in a way that I wouldn't speak to someone who's a friend. And I might ask my brother for certain things that I wouldn't have asked a friend for, even if they were a dear friend of mine. And the way we treat people who are nearest and dearest to us is the thing that's going to hold us into account on the Day of Judgment. In the hadith of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu arda, which is narrated in Bukhari and Muslim, it is the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ describing the shafa'ah, the long hadith of the Day of Judgment. And then in it, Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, in a section of it, there's this section, and it's another riwayah that I narrate to you here, where a person has crossed the sirat. So they've crossed over the narrow bridge that extends over Jahannam. It's more narrow than a hair, more finer than a sword. And alayhi kalalib, it's got hooks that drag people into hellfire for their iniquity. You've passed tawheed, salah, siyam, zakah, hajj. Everything is done. You've crossed over. And you believe I've made it. And you come to the point of ascent to the A'raf, to the point of ascending towards Jannah, and you're stopped. The Prophet ﷺ said, فَيَأْتِي عَنْدَ الْقَنْطَرَ. You arrive to a place of the Ark Bridge. There's this little bridge that separates you. Jannah's near. Hellfire is behind you. I've made it? No. عِنْدَهَا رَدِّ الْمَظَالِمِ. It's at that place where you stand on that Ark Bridge, where injustice is settled. That's where my wife, your wife, that's where my father, my mother is going to ask me for the rights and obligations that I did not meet that should have been met. They're going to ask the people who are nearest and dearest to you for reparation and repayment for the things that were done of inequity on our part, intentionally or mistakenly, that need to be addressed and fixed. And there are three things that I wish, inshallah, to confine our discussion over the next 15 minutes to, that are critical mistakes that will manifest themselves for us on the Day of Judgment. The first is criticism that is unjustified. Subhanallah. Anytime you criticize someone, you're speaking about their character. And I want you to understand that. So anytime you have something bad to say about someone, true or not, in your perception, you're actually mistreating that individual. And that's why issues that relate to ghibah, to speak, ذِكْرُكَ أَخَاكَ بِمَا يَكْرَهُ. What is ghibah? It is to make mention of your brother's faults in a way they do not want for others to hear of them. That Sahaba, they said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أَوَ إِن كَانَ فِي أَخِي مَا أَقُولُ. What if what I said about my brethren is true? What if what I said is the truth? I'm not lying, I'm not exaggerating, I'm not omitting. What I said is the right, is the truth. قَالَ إِن كَانَ فِيهِ فَقَدْ اخْتَبْتَ. If it is what you said, if it is as you said it, then that is غيبة. So just to make mention in a way that would hurt someone's feelings, even when truthful, outside their presence, in a way that they would dislike, is a major attribute of sinful behavior, that there is a listed punishment for it in the punishment of the grave. أَعَاذَنَ اللَّهُ وَإِيَّاكُمْ مِنْ ذَلِكَ. May Allah protect us all from that. Criticism is not nasiha. Criticism is to level an accusation at someone. Even if you are justified in what you believe that accusation is, if it is not necessary to be leveled. And therefore what you see in the lifestyle of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that he separated between those who were sincere in advice, ad-deenu nasiha. Religion is based on sincerity and mutuality of advice to the righteous, to assist each other. وَتَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ. Assist one another to righteousness. وَلَا تَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ. And don't assist each other to sinful behavior, including in that unjustified and disingenuous criticism. Number two, blaming. And you might say, what's the difference between blaming and criticism? Well, criticism is something that is hard to receive, but it could be a truth. And it's something that if it's said in the right way, in the right means, in front of the right company, is something that should be accepted. The difference between criticism and blaming is that blaming leads to a level of defensiveness because it is an attack that is personal on something that is of character substance. So there's a difference where a person is highlighting an issue and a person attacking character of the person at issue. And, you know, we have this famous incident in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where one of the Sahaba who was prone to drinking alcohol even after the prohibition. So this Sahabi struggled with abstaining from drinking. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam one day saw some of the Sahaba encircling him and abusing him and being rough with him on account that he was caught drinking. فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم دعوه. Let him be. Leave him alone. Don't speak to him in this way. Set him apart. Leave him alone. I don't want you to mistreat him in this way. فإني والله أعلم أنه يحب الله ورسوله. Because I swear to you by my Lord that I know this man loves Allah and his messenger Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. That which you are able to criticize him for, which is that he is doing something that is haram, you took it to the step of blaming. It now became about him rather than the action. And that's something that's really, really important for us to consider. And third and finally is stonewalling, where you set up the wall. So now it's not being the one giving, but it's the one who is unwilling to receive. And therefore, just say somebody criticized you wrongly. Just say somebody blamed you. It's wrong for what they did. But a part of your mind, a part of your soul, a part of your heart should resonate in hearing the truth, even if how they declared it was wrong. And although I'm ordered to speak the truth in a gentle way, if I said it in a rough way, it doesn't change the fact that it was the truth. Notice how Allah gives the command to Musa alayhi salam. And Allah says to Moses, who is of the most righteous of people, to speak to Fir'aun, the most wretched and tyrannical of people. فَقُولَ لَهُ قَوْلًا لَيِّنًا. So when you speak, the both of you, to him, address him with gentle, meaning respectful words. It doesn't mean hide your criticism. It doesn't mean don't hold them to account. It means put it in a respectful way. Speak in front of the right people. Choose the right time. Don't speak with an audacious persona. Could you imagine if you were Musa, Allah speaks to you directly? Wallahi, you'd step forward to Fir'aun. You'd be like, I'm gonna mess you up. Don't you know who I'm with? Don't you know who's backing me up? I have Allah, Rabbul Izzah. No. قَوْلًا لَيِّنًا. Don't speak with an audacious, arrogant style, ya Musa. Don't do what he's done. And therefore, stonewalling Fir'aun, Allah says to Musa, speak to him gently. Why? So that this concept of me putting up a stone wall in front of me to say, I'm not going to hear what you have to say. I'm not going to listen to it. How dare you? Who are you to tell me? Well, what about you in your own life? Are you perfect? Is everything right with you? And that's not the attitude of a believer. And that attitude of a believer is one where they recognize within themselves shortcomings, and they have the statement of of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, rahmatullahi alayh, the great Khalifa of the Khulafa, where he would say, "Rahim Allahu mri'in ahda ilayya ayyubi." May Allah's mercy descend upon one who has led me to recognize my faults, even if that person led me in the wrong way. We shouldn't, but it doesn't mean that criticism, that blame, was not something that we should give and pay attention to. So how do we release conflict? And how do we make sure that we are able to resolve conflict amongst our children, amongst our families, amongst our extended family? In the month of Ramadan, أَهَلَّهُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْنَا بِالْخَيْرِ. May Allah make its hilal rise above us in khayr. May Allah remove from us al-waba wal-bala. May Allah remove from us illness and disease and hardship and trial. Allahumma ameen. The month of Ramadan is soon to arrive. And I will put in the comment section an article that I wrote. It's a two-part piece called Finding Love in Ramadan. And it's not about finding love with Allah alone. It's finding love in Allah by asking for forgiveness from other people and making amends with other people. So when it comes to conflict resolution, I want you to know it is an art. It's not easy. And it requires discipline, and it requires foresight, and it requires for you and I to have humility between ourselves and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The main idea of conflict resolution is to be diplomatic. It is that both sides leave thinking that they have won. SubhanAllah, it's such a... And that's what diplomacy is, right? That everybody gets something. That everybody at the end of the day does not feel that they've been oppressed or wronged. And la liya wa la alayhi, it's a constitution of a believer. I don't want more and I don't want less. And I don't want to give you less when you deserve more. La liya wa la alayhi. Umar radiallahu anhu, this is his statement. He said, وَدِدْتُ أَنْ أَخْرُجَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا لَا لِيَ وَلَا عَلَيْهِ. I wish that when I depart this worldly life, I don't owe and I'm not owed. I don't owe anyone and nobody owes me anything. So there's two types of problems that you and I face in our day. One problem is solvable in the day that we're in, and another problem is perpetual. It is a constant. It'll always be there. SubhanAllah. It never will leave. It's a regular thing in our life, so we have to learn how to deal with it as an issue. So the first problem is a solvable problem. It's a day-to-day problem. And it could be something as, you know, I hate that my husband uses the phone when he's in the car. It's illegal. Shouldn't be done. He's wrong to do it. It's clear cut. The law is with me. My husband knows it's wrong. People have died doing it. Yet, he does it. It's a solvable problem. The second type of problem is perpetual. Most of the problems we have in our households are those kind of problems. You have one son older than your other son. Both of them need to use the laptop, or both of them want to play the PlayStation, and at the same time, you can't. You only have one. It's going to happen again. You're going to come to that place where there's going to be that conflict again. It's going to stay for the foreseeable future as a deeper issue. So each of these problems has a different mindset, a different way of approaching the solution. So I want you and I to switch on our problem-solving mindsets. That when we approach either one of these two problems, that we have six essential characteristics that we agree on. The first characteristic is optimistic. Do I approach this problem, believe it can be solved? This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran. إِن يُرِيدَ إِصْلَاحًا If a husband and wife are estranged, they're in almost at the point of divorce. Allah says, إِن يُرِيدَ إِصْلَاحًا If both of them wish to rectify and fix the problem, يُوَفِّقِ اللَّهُ بَيْنَهُمَا Allah will bring his tawfiq. But if one of them doesn't, if both of them don't, it doesn't matter. Even if you were to have the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam intervene between them, it will not be fixed. Example, Zainab radiallahu anha wa Zayd. They could not fix the problem. And they entered into divorce. Even though the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, amsik alayka zawjak. Allah says that the Prophet, Allah's quoted, that Allah quotes the Prophet saying, I ask you to keep holding onto your wife. Don't divorce her yet. Let's try again. Let's try to fix it. So the optimism, it has to come from a mindset where both of them are committed to solving the problem. Both sides. Number two, empathy. Empathy means seeking to understand before to be understood. I want to understand what their issue is before I want them to understand me. If you come at a problem with that, subhanAllah, if my wife, mashallah, I hope she listens to this. Allah yahfazha ya Rabb. Just say we have a problem. If she waits and in her mind intends to understand my perspective, and I, may Allah allow me to practice this, Ya Rabbi, it's difficult, wallahi, that I want to understand her perspective before I want her to understand me and before she wants me to understand her, then we are in the mindset of problem solving. Because we're communicating not to be heard, but to allow others to reach us for us to hear them. Number three, there has to be commitment. The commitment has to be that there's a reason why we want to fix it. Don't you want to have greater harmony? Don't you want that this is a problem that goes away? Don't you want that I'm happy to sit in the car with you and not keep telling you why are you switching on your phone? Why are you touching it? Why are you messing with it? Don't you want to de-stress this? Are you able to commit that this is something that we can fix? And commitment is necessary for any change prior to beginning it. If the commitment isn't there, it doesn't matter what strategies you use, it will be of no value. Number four, there has to be acceptance, subhanAllah. We have to accept when we're wrong. And this is, subhanAllah Rabbi al-A'la, Allah humble us, Ya Rab. We have to accept that we are wrong at certain times, and we have to accept that our spouse can be wrong, our children can be wrong, the people we're in conflict with can be wrong, but that we still love them and will tolerate them, that we will accept them without being able to fix it. SubhanAllah, if my wife tried to fix everything with me and she was capable, mashallah, I'd be a different man. I'm a work in progress. 15 years nearly of marriage, still a work in progress. It's a long road. She tells me, inshallah, tabarakallah. You and I, this is, you have to accept the other individual as much as you're willing to accept your own faults. And as much as you want them to accept our own faults. There will be certain things that we have as inhibitions, certain things in body image, certain things in our psychology, certain things in what we came into the marriage with, our children are dealing with in terms of their pre-learning. So you're sitting with your child and subhanAllah, you're trying to teach them year 6 math or year 8 math or year 10 math. And subhanAllah, there's something that they're weak in and you have to accept that this is something that needs to be mitigated, changed, fixed. You can't just assume they have to change it. I'm not going to accept you. You just got to change. La. Certain things are changeable. Other things are not. Right? Acceptance. Number 4, 5 is respect. You and I, me and others, do not have to agree on anything for us to accept and to respect each other. Respect. You and I, we can disagree. You and your wife, you and your children, your son and daughter can disagree on who's right, who's wrong. But it doesn't mean because they disagree that they're allowed to be disrespectful, to raise the voice, to use a disgusting vulgar word, to slam a door, to give silent treatment, to pretend that the person's a ghost, that they don't even exist. They walk in the room, say, Salaamu Alaikum, it's like they don't exist. La, disrespect. to speak about them to others in a way that's wrong, to share something about them that they shouldn't, knowing that the company's listening, right? Those are things that are in our mind, that we should have in our mind to solve the problem. Finally, is taqwa. Is to make in your mindset that Allah will hold me accountable even if I get my way. I might get my way, and I might force the person I'm in conflict with to do what I said, but is this what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will allow me to get away with? Is this something I deserve? Is it going to happen? If it isn't, وَيْلٌ مِّنَ النَّارِ. Be scared of the torment of the punishment of Allah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us His protection. So let's have a quick step-by-step guide to conflict resolution. First step, timing. Choose the right time to discuss it. Don't talk about something in front of the kids. Don't talk with other people who shouldn't hear it. Don't do it when your children are sleepy and tell them why they're missing their homework. And, you know, it's at a moment of them watching TV, and then it's something you get allowed them to do, and then you cancel it because something else happened. Choose the right time. Make sure that timing is right. Number two, have a soft approach. And, you know, before you get to the meat of the issue, you want to chew into the bread of the hamburger, right? That's why you have bread and salad and the sauce, and all of that is before the hamburger, right? So you take a bite of it, but you're not going to get to the meat directly. And this is the case of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah says, لَوْ كُنْتَ فَضَّلْ غَلِيذَ الْقَلْبِ. If you were hard-hearted, they would turn away from you, ya Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So don't give opportunities to people to put up that stone wall, to shut you down, to push you out, to silence you, to turn a dumb ear, a deaf ear to you, on account of you entering with harshness. The Prophet ﷺ was always gentle in every matter. Number three, have more than one attempt. You don't have to solve all the problems in one go. So if your children are in conflict with each other over the shared space, over the PlayStation, over who's going to do which chore, over who has the right to the laptop first, over, you know, all these different things, whose friend is going to visit, all of these things are together. You can't solve all five in the same city. You have to make more than one repair attempt. So first you're going to fix this part, and then this is going to impact this, and then you can fix that part, and then you can use each of them to fix something ultimately later. Number four, monitor our physiology, how we look, our heartbeat, how high our voice is. Are we frowning? Are we angry? Are we tense? Are we, you know, monitor our physical presence. Number five, negotiate for the win-win, because they're your loved ones. They're your family. They're your friends. You want everybody to walk away feeling that they won. And this is the level of compassion. This is the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that instills in us the desire to have a win-win situation, that everyone experiences it and benefits from it. Finally, you know, set rules that assist us after. So now that I've solved the problem, okay, Ahmed, you're going to play first, you're going to play second. Okay, I did that today. But now that I've solved the problem today, I need to set the rule for tomorrow. So now tomorrow, okay, Umar, you're going to play first, Ahmed, you're going to play second. And then I make a schedule. So having rules and having boundaries eliminates the need of making on-the-spot decisions, which usually is one of the main contributors to massive conflict levels of interest. Finally, I'm going to talk about bad parenting, and forgive me for saying this, but there's a really good course that my friend, colleague who teaches with Al Maghrib Institute, he has a course called Protect This House. And Protect This House is a program that is meant about these issues that you're suffering with at the moment. It's about how to be a great parent and how to solve some of these contemporary problems. Now, of course, it's an online course. It's usually taught in person by Sheikh Abu Isa, who's in Manchester. So they're releasing this course. It's been recorded over a number of years, and you know, there's so much data and experience. Now, he's a medical practitioner. He's a medically trained, but he's also a Sharia consultant. He's you know, one of the ulama, one of the learned in our faith. So he brings in, you know, a little bit of depth to this issue. And I highly, highly recommend. He doesn't know I'm doing this, by the way. I'll send it to him, but he doesn't know I'm doing this. So I highly recommend that you enroll for this program. And I want it to be something that is of great value for you and your family. And I will put a link to it in the comments, right? Protect this house, how you can enroll on it online. Because you want to protect your home. You want to protect it. So here are some of the things that relate to bad parenting. And inshallah, I plan on doing something you know, more extensive as a one-off online talk that you can benefit from, inshallah. But some of the, you know, the issues that if our children, especially the young, are lying to us often, generally speaking, it's due to our overreaction and being too harsh to their inappropriate behavior. So they're inappropriate in their behavior, but we're going over the top. So that they make a split-second decision. I'd rather my dad be angry at me, but not as angry as he goes. So I'm going to lie. And even though he might know I'm lying, I'd rather lie than have him be angry directly to me. You know, the bad parenting things at times create havoc within the home. So one of the beautiful hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, which I linked to the very first ayat that I recited from Surah Abasa, you're going to run away from your brother, but not your sister. Father, mother, spouse, sons, but not your daughters. The reason, the Prophet ﷺ said, "Man 'ala jariyatayn," the one who looks after two young girls, his daughters, his sisters, you know, somebody, young children that he raises, orphans, the one who looks after two young girls, وَأَحْسَنَ تَأْدِيبَهُمَا, and raises them with good morals, good ethics, وَلَمْ يُفَضِّلْ عَلَيْهِنَّ أَخَا, and doesn't prefer their brother to them, doesn't give the boy more than the girl, doesn't treat the boy in one way that's superior or what they may think is superior to them, كُنَّ لَهُ حِجَابًا مِنَ النَّارِ, those two girls, those two young daughters, they raised up your sisters, mashallah, they become a barrier between you and hellfire. Allahu Akbar. On the day of judgment, mashallah, I got two sisters. Allahumma barik li fihum ya Rab. I'm going to chase them down. I'm going to run away from my brothers. I got three brothers. I'm going to run away from them. And I'm going to find my sisters, mashallah, to hang out behind them. Why? Why is this hadith powerful? It shows you, subhanallah, that one of the sad realities is many parents, they give the sons a right that the daughters don't have. They treat the sons in a way that their daughters are not given, whether it's privileges or lesser duties and so on. Notice the word of the Prophet that you don't show affection or love or care or attention or education or opportunity that limits the others. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open our hearts to this reality, protect us from making these bad decisions. And I hope, inshallah, that we are excellent in our conduct with each other, that we mitigate our conflict, and that we seek to help one another in that regard. I pray that Allah keeps you this blessed day of Jumu'ah, that you are able to remember our Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam more in your salawat, that by that product you are given greater love from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that we are guaranteed the shafa'ah of our Nabi Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Your brother Yahya Ibrahim, coming to you live from Perth. I know many of you are watching from different places. I see Umm Faraz, mashallah, from Birmingham, online there. Hafizahullah. Give my salam to your wonderful spouse and your wonderful children. Subhanakallahumma bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Wa salli allahumma wa sallim wa zid wa barik ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. By the way, at 4 o'clock, 4:30 this afternoon, usually I do a crossover to South Africa news, but to ITV news, but they don't have it on Friday, so I'll see you again. Jazakallah khair, Sister Shahnaz. It was wonderful doing Hajj with you, and may Allah accept from all of us. Allahumma ameen. Keep us in your dua, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect and elevate our homes, inshallah. I have a special program about mental health that is going to be on Sunday. Now, that Sunday is Sunday, 7 a.m. in Perth, and I will release more details of it. If you go down two posts on my Facebook page, you'll be able to see it. It's called Thrive to Success, and there's a wonderful group of people that are assembled for that program. Do sign up for it. It'll be of great value, inshallah. Subhanakallahumma bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.